Welcome to episode number 38 of the Mastering Marriage Podcast, where our goal is to strengthen, unite, and restore your marriage. Everybody, my name is Amanda Taylor, and together with my husband David, we are the co-founders of MendOurMarriage.com, and our goal is to break the back of divorce by bringing married couples together to be accountable, keep the passion alive, and destroy the hidden issues that try to rip marriages apart. And we are finally back in the booth again today with me, of course, Amanda Taylor, and my hubby, my yo. Co-host, David Yo-Yo Taylor.
Oh, goodness.
DTZHBZ.
Okay.
In
yes.
the heezy.
We're here. We are here. Hey, guys. She's turned up, clearly. How's everybody doing? I hope you guys are enjoying this June weather. We're down here baking, down here in Florida, crispy.
Shake and bake.
Shake and bake. But anyway, we are back in the booth, and we would like to first of all welcome you guys to season number two. That's right. Season number two of the Mastering Marriage Podcast. Now, you're probably wondering, we're doing seasons? Yes, we are. It's like our shows, our favorite shows like Gotham, Flash, Arrow, and all those other things that we watch go on a sabbatical for a while into the next season. So did this podcast.
Uh-huh.
So we're back. And we are really committing to making sure, because we get a lot of people requesting, why aren't you doing more shows? How come we get shows and then you don't have any more? And so we're committing to doing no less than two shows a month, which means every other week you're going to get a new show. We actually want to ramp it up a bit and go to every week.
At some point, but
we have so much going on that we're going to clue you guys into, but at least you know you're going to get two shows a month.
Yes.
And so thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of this journey. Especially the guys that's been with us since what, September? Mm-hmm. Is that when we launched? We launched in September.
I believe so.
So thank you guys who've been with us for this entire journey. You've seen pretty much everything that we've done. We're up to close to what, 59,000 followers on Facebook now. Mandy has a group of over 1,000 spouses for her Motivated to Love book.
Yes. Waiting for David to come out with his book.
That book is coming. It's about to be dropped. No, but we just want to take the time to say thank you, guys. We really, really
yes.
appreciate all of the people that have left reviews for the podcast, mm-hmm. people that are liking and sharing our videos on Facebook and just promoting the brand.
Our new website.
Yes, our new website, yes. And I was going to say, this podcast, the Mastering Marriage Podcast, is brought to you on behalf of Marriage with Muscle.
Yes.
And that's our very brand new website that we've developed specifically for those of you who are only interested in couples fitness.
And couples fitness, not just physically, but also spiritually, mentally, and emotionally.
Yeah. And so we want to make sure that this website is specifically for you guys. We have some surprises on the every video that we produce. We're actually producing them. You know, there's a part of the video that we're producing inside of our kitchen, so you get to see what our house is like
yes,
and everything.
Yes.
So, yeah, for those of you who have not taken part, please go to www.marriagewithmuscle.com and join the membership. It's only $10 and you get lifetime access to all of the videos. We're producing one video a week
right.
with a new workout, with a new meal prep and all that stuff we're doing. So
yes.
Take a look at it and let us know what you think. In any case, today we are back answering a listener submitted question.
Yes.
And this actually is a question from a husband. So when we play it, I want you guys to really, I'm interested to see what everybody else is thinking. Obviously, we won't be able to ask you guys, but
you'll be able to comment.
Yeah, you'll be able to comment, but we're going to be honest about what our thoughts are about this gentleman's question. And then we're going to give you guys some very valuable nuggets of truth, because there's a lot wrapped in this. So let me stop talking and go ahead, Mandy, and play this. And then we'll be back to give you guys some insight.
All right.
Hello, how you doing? I'm 25 years old and I've been married for 3 years, going on 4 years, August 6th of 2015. As of now, me and my wife are separated, and we have been separated for about the past 2 months. About 2 years ago, I stepped out of my marriage due to existing problems in our household. My wife, she suffers from extreme depression and abandonment from lack of having a mother and father in her life. She's 6 years older than me. So as of now, I'm 25 and she will be 31. For her age, she is, to me, immature, and she lacks a lot of wifely qualities as far as cooking and cleaning and just a lot of things go due to her, due to her depression. She feels like she can't do the wifely things that she needs to do. Well, about a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, we separated, and during the separation, I met a young lady around my age, and we connected in an intimate way, and we held a relationship for 8 months out of a year. During that 8 months, I tattooed her name on my body. I did it because maybe, I don't know, I thought I loved her. Maybe I just did it because I was angry at my wife, but nonetheless, I did it. Nothing I can do to try and take it back, but get the tattoo removed, which I've been trying to do for the longest now. Me and my wife, we got back together as of September of last year. We reconnected, we tried to rekindle our flame, and she just can't let it go. I feel like there's nothing else I can do. Like, I feel like there's nothing, what else can I do? Like, she just, like, I feel like she's scorned to the point that there's nothing I can do. Like, she disrespects me to the point she has no respect for me. So it's like, how do I stay with a woman that has no respect for me? I know partially it's my fault, but she doesn't take responsibility in the reasons why I left her. There was reasons behind me leaving her, not just for another woman, because I didn't never left her for another woman. I left her because of the problems that we had in during our separation. I met someone. But she can't see that. She doesn't understand that, and I don't think she ever will. What do I do? I feel like God wants me to move on because nothing I do works with her.
All right, so we're back, and Mandy, when you listen to that voicemail, obviously we're gonna keep his name out, but what were your immediate reactions? I just wanna play in this little puddle real fast. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts.
I would say initial reactions were, wow, that's a very unique situation. And also, you know, I guess just kind of thinking about some of the comments he made about her not knowing how to do, you know, basic wifely, quote unquote, duties, you know, of the cooking and cleaning and that type of thing. And, you know, how he mentioned her background and that type of thing. So it's kind of a bizarre situation. It's not uncommon for people to separate and end up, you know, being involved with somebody else. But then the whole tattoo thing is
a different level.
Pretty interesting.
All I could think of is, how would you have reacted if I would have walked in with another lady's name tattooed on me?
Well, I guess for me, if I made the decision to forgive you and to work on things and work towards reconciliation, we'll just have to get that mug removed.
Yeah, but you'd have an issue with that. You'd probably tell me put some duct tape on it or something. I mean,
that's what I just said.
Turtleneck if I had it on my neck,
no,
if I was tatted on my neck.
You would be going to get that mug removed. I know it's expensive and very painful, but you would be getting that. You would be going through that process.
And you know, so... you as a listener, I want you guys to take some time to kind of let what you just heard soak in, and resist the urge to immediately get offended by what you heard.
Or immediately throw stones.
Or immediately throw stones, exactly. Because even though we may have not done certain things like got tattoos, the same type of thinking is prevalent in the majority of the marriages that we work with.
Right.
And so what I want you to do is really start to listen deeper than the surface, because there are tons of juicy nuggets there. And I'm just going to touch on three of those nuggets, if mm-hmm. if you don't mind, baby. Just go and touch on.
I don't mind.
You don't mind, okay? Cause
I don't mind. What song is that?
I don't know, but you turned up. She's still turned up, guys. We back.
Somebody know that.
We
song.
Back in the booth. But here's the thing: there are three things that I want to touch on today, regarding this particular voicemail, and there are a few things that stood out to me. And seven. One of the things that stood out to me was that they got married when he was what?
22.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've been married for going on 4 years. Yeah. He's 25 now. So 21, 22 is when they got married, which is very young.
Oh, yes.
Very young nowadays. Mm-hmm. Now, 100, 200, maybe even 1,000 years ago, that was considered old to be married. But nowadays, things have changed.
People are getting married older now.
Older. Yeah. And so 21 tells me that fresh out of college, maybe, or still in college, you know, or straight.
Or if they decided not to, you know, go to college, maybe, you know, that's just a couple years removed from high school.
Exactly. And then the 6 year difference.
Yeah.
There's a lot there. But let me just speak on one of the major key points that I wanted to discuss today.
Okay.
And one of the things was most marriages. Let me shift.
Stretch out.
Most marriages are ruined due to this one thing.
What's
expectations.
That? Yes.
Huge. We often bring our expectations, and we don't even know about it, to the marriage.
Right.
So most marriages are ruined due to selfish, unmet, and lofty expectations that we put on our spouse.
Subconsciously.
Oh yeah, they all come from our upbringing, our childhoods. We develop our expectations out of our experiences.
Right.
And then we take those expectations and we give them to our spouses.
Yes.
And so when you say certain things like wifely duties, those are your expectations of what she should be doing as a wife.
And because the way he described it was that she came from a broken home pretty much. And it sounds like he may have come from a two-parent home, or he at least grew up seeing a model of a wife cooking and cleaning as her role.
Or maybe you didn't see that as a model and you wanted that as a model, so that became an expectation. I know that was for me. You know, and so, but here's the thing, and I'm speaking to you, the guy that gave us this voicemail, that you have to be very wary of providing your expectations or giving your expectations to your spouse. And here's the reason why. Well, so think about this. The primary reason why 50% of marriages fail is because of unmet expectations. Mm-hmm. People get married and then they get disappointed in the fact that what they thought their spouse was given, they actually weren't given.
Right.
Right. And so
that often, happens a lot.
A lot. That happened to us. It's one of the main reasons why we almost train wrecked. Right.
Right,
you know,
right.
Ran smack into that wall because we had these expectations for each other and they just didn't get met.
Right.
And I got upset. I got distracted because there were certain things that I thought you should be providing, bringing to the table, and you weren't. And all of a sudden I blamed you. Right. Mm-hmm. I sounded very similar to this young man. So but here's the thing. Often we come to the marriage looking for our spouse. Now get this, right? We come to the marriage looking for our spouse to meet our unmet needs. And when they aren't met, so when those unmet needs aren't met, we eventually lose interest in them. Mm. And here's the thing. Our unmet needs, and I'm writing about this in my book, by the way. So you guys just hold on to your seats because this is going
to grab
trust
it.
Me, this is going to be deep. But our unmet needs come from our childhood, right? Mm-hmm. And as children, we are born with a host of needs. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, babies have all kinds of needs. And just imagine if that baby, you know, they had needs, they were crying for a particular reason, but that need went unmet. Well, then the baby learns that the world is not as safe as it thought it was, and it has to begin to protect itself and look out for its own interests. That's just kind of how we are. Humans are pleasure-seeking, pain-avoiding creatures. So we hate things that make us feel uncomfortable or pain, right? And so as a result, we tend to be self-preserving. And so those habits develop and then they follow us into our adult life. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm married and I have unmet needs and I'm expecting my spouse to meet those needs and then they don't meet those needs, guess what I'm gonna do for myself?
You're going to fill that void.
I'm gonna fill that void. I'm gonna protect myself. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna meet my own needs. And that's often what happens, right? And so, but it's very covert. Like, you don't know what's happening until somebody calls you out on it, mm-hmm. right? We didn't know what was happening until we called ourselves out on it, but that's really what was going on. Or until it's too late, of course, yeah. And so let me give you a brief history of marriage, though. Let me give you a reason as to why this is so detrimental. So, okay, thousands of years ago, actually not even just thousands, like hundreds of years ago, there was a certain thing called arranged marriages, right? Now, if we were to say, right, in this Western culture, that we need to move back towards arranged marriages, people would be in an uproar.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so, but here's the thing. Arranged marriages, one of the reasons why they worked so well was, well, there's a few things. One of the primary things was that there were two families that were responsible for the marriage, not just two individuals. See, like since the 1970s, this whole movement towards, you know, being happiness. Yeah, that happiness movement and individuality and me and not anybody else. We decided that because I love this person, I could make the choice to marry this person. Mm-hmm. See, back then, your family chose for you. So, because they believe, and this was actually a cultural thing, they didn't trust the emotion of love. Mm-hmm. They thought the emotion of love was irrational, erratic, and it came and went. And, I mean, there's a lot of truth to that, right? Because love, you know, and not the agape love, but the love that the eros, the storge, the phileo love, all those things come and go based off your circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so they decided that you put two families, and then based off of that, the two families put two individuals together. So now two people have both of their families helping their marriage succeed. Right. And there's a lot more to that, but just the basic was the family was involved. But because neither of them knew each other, or they maybe knew barely or a little about each other, it was harder for them to put expectations on each other. Mm-hmm. So let's say we met, like when we first met each other, we didn't put too many expectations on each other. Mm-hmm. We were strangers.
Right.
So I can't put too many expectations of my personal expectations on you because I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. Right. And so think about that. Love was not present at the beginning of the relationship, at the beginning of the marriage. Mm-hmm. For us, love was present, right?
Right.
That's one of the reasons why we got together. Well, we got married because I love you and you love me. So we need to get married. That's just westernized thinking. Mm-hmm. But for them, love was not even present. So what that meant was that there had to be another reason for the marriage to start to build and succeed. And it wasn't love. It wasn't the fact that they loved each other. And here's the thing. Love, because love was not the primary force for them getting together, they had to focus and fight to develop the marriage then. It didn't come naturally. They had to actually work at building rapport with each other and learning each other and experiencing each other and committing to each other. And they had to really work at conditioning the foundation. It didn't just come because of love, right? So that meant that when love was no longer there, or the feelings of love, they still had a deep, rich, strong foundation to build upon.
Right.
Our problem is, we build the very foundation of our marriage on love.
Feeling.
Exactly,
not
how we feel.
Not love.
Agape love.
Not agape.
Yeah, I'm not saying agape love, but the feeling of love. Yeah, yeah. And so, but if you build the foundation on something different, then it's harder for, when there's a stormy season, it's harder for it to go, for the marriage to become faulty, because you don't build it on those faulty emotions. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm bringing my expectations to the marriage and I'm giving you my expectations, I'm creating an unfair environment. What needs to happen, so this is to you guys and this is to everybody listening, you too need to develop the expectations for your marriage.
Yes.
You develop your culture. Mm-hmm. Stop letting society tell you what a wife should do or what a husband should do or what a real man should do. No, you develop what your wife and husband roles are.
Right.
That's your responsibility. Right. And that's one thing that Mandy and I had to do. We had to develop what our roles were. Because once you do that, you then create the boundaries for your relationship.
Right.
Right. And so then I can't come in and tell you how to be a wife or how to be a husband, because you guys set the tone. Mm-hmm. You guys determine those expectations.
Start with a clean slate.
So just remember, you can't give your spouse your expectations, because your expectations came from your past experiences. And it's unfair because inevitably they're not going to meet your expectations. It never happens. Mm-mm. Right? And so, but let me move on to the second point. Unless you got anything you want to add to that?
No, I think you covered that one pretty good.
All right. So here's the other thing. Here's a question I want to ask you. Not you, baby, but
the
listener and the guy that asked the question. What was it about you that caused you to step out the marriage? See, when I stepped out the marriage, I blamed Mandy for my decision. Even though it was my decision, I blamed Mandy. And that's the danger, is that as long as I blamed Mandy, I never fully grew past my blame or my pain. I never really grew. And because I didn't grow, it took a little longer for us to reconcile the marriage. And so for you, I want you to think about this. Based on what you shared, it appears that you feel that you initially separated from your wife because of what she was not providing to you. Mm-hmm. I want you to hear this for a second. So if that's the case, right, that you separated from her because of what she wasn't providing for you in the marriage, if that's the case, then what you're really saying is this. I left because there was a need that I had that she was not meeting. Mm-hmm. I don't think you caught that. This is what I heard you say. I left because there was a need that I have that she did not meet. Now, husband, all the husbands that are listening, oh, heck, everybody, your job is to figure out what that need is, where it came from, and why it's still there.
Exactly.
You can't have needs just lurking beneath the surface mm-hmm. because they are like black holes. They will continually suck any and everything to it that's close to it, mm-hmm. right? I blame Mandy for my unmet needs, so then I go out and try to meet my needs through another person. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing you did.
Right.
You have to figure out where those needs come from. It's not your wife's fault that you have these unmet needs, by the way. It's not her fault that she can't meet those needs. Because guess what? She didn't create those needs. Mm-hmm. Those needs, 9 times out of 10, were created in your childhood mm-hmm. between you and your parents, mm-hmm. right? And you have to figure out what are those needs, where they came from, i.e. who was the main roles and the main players in terms of contributing to these needs, and why are they still there? Why are these needs still prevalent in my life? Mm-hmm. Because they're driving you. You just have to realize that they're driving you. What do you think, Debbie?
You know, I think that, I mean, that's a great point because, you know, when people get into marriages and they get into these hard spots, you know, they want to immediately move away from their spouse if they're not getting that need met instead of thinking, hey, we're on the same team.
Yeah.
So if you're lacking something, then I need to, you know, have enough inside of me to give you, to build you up and get you to where you need to be
yeah.
or where you want to be in this season instead of pulling away.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember, and that's good, babe. Remember, your job is to figure out what those needs, what they are, where they came from and why they're still there.
Right.
As a husband, and I can't stress this point enough, as a husband, you are ultimately responsible for the quality of your marriage. Okay? Remember, you are the covering. Husband, you are the covering. So at the end of the day, and in God's eyes, accountability stops with you. You have to maintain accountability for your marriage, for the quality of your marriage, for the proximity of your marriage. If your marriage is not where it needs to be, if you mapped out your marriage in 5 years, and in 5 years you're not where it needs to be, you have to be accountable for that. Not your wife, not your kids, not your job, you. You are the covering, okay? It stops with you. And that's how you have to live in that tension. Most husbands can't deal with that pressure. They don't want to be responsible for a failing marriage because at the end of the day, it makes them look bad. They feel guilty.
And, you know, I have a lot of women in my group. Well, I have men and women in my Motivated to Love group who say that their husband or their wife is furious and angry with them and they don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And the spouse that's angry, they don't even know why they're angry.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times because, you know,
because
that person is going through and they have those insecurities, they see what they can't provide in the marriage. They see themselves when they look at their spouse.
Mm.
And so they're angry because every time they look at their spouse, they see failure.
They see their failures. Yeah.
They see guilt.
Yeah.
They see the fact that they weren't able to live up to what they wanted to live up to.
What they promised to.
And
meet their spouse's expectations.
Yeah.
And that's so dangerous, but it's so, so true. That is so true. And if you're not careful, especially husbands, because unfortunately most men don't know how to communicate emotionally or connect emotionally with their wives, because they don't know how to do that, they don't know how to fully express when they're concerned or scared or anxious or nervous or disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to express that.
Or insecure.
Or insecure. Right?
That's a huge one.
And you need to, as a husband, be able to express all of those things to your wife. Mm-hmm. And not feel like you're taking your manhood away because you share with your wife that you may be a little nervous about the direction mm-hmm. or the trajectory of your marriage.
And I think it goes both ways. I mean, it's a continuous cycle. Then as a woman, you have to be a safe place
yes.
for your husband to be Ooh. Able to share those things.
Yes.
So if they yes. do, you know, if you have a history of every time they make a mistake or if they are in a season where they are not doing as well as they want to, mm-hmm. if you calling them on that and, you know, challenging him on that and yeah. you know, questioning
being verbally abusive.
Yeah, you know, questioning his manhood and that's happened over and over again.
He's not gonna trust you.
He's not gonna trust you.
And that's trust is all about safety and security. And you want to be the safe haven. As a husband, as a wife, you are the safe haven. And unfortunately, most of y'all aren't safe havens. Most of the time, they leave y'all to go to a safe haven, like a gym or the bar or their job, because it's safer there than it is in the confines of your own home.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying do not hold them accountable and do not have healthy conversation
yeah.
about what's going on in the relationship or in the family that's causing strife or causing financial burden.
Yeah.
But you have to learn how to talk about those things without pointing fingers, without degrading, without yeah. pulling each other down.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the hard part. That stuff, how to do that, those skills, which are true skills that you have to work like a muscle. It takes practice. But also, there's a lack of resources out there.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, there and I'm not saying that we are the answer. So I'm not even going to go there, even though I'm trying to. I want to say we can provide that, but it ain't about that. But I'm just saying you have to begin to be resourceful as a husband and as a wife. You have to lock into those resources mm-hmm. that will help you in those areas.
Yeah, and whether you come to us for coaching or you go to somebody else mm-hmm. for coaching or counseling, it's okay to reach out and get some help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. it's okay because, if you know, I didn't say it right now on this podcast, but, you know, just think about it like this. If you're studying for a test or if you're in school or something, you're not just going to sit there and try to figure it out in your brain. You're going to use a book, a resource.
Yep.
You're going to go to the library. You're going to get on the internet.
Yep.
You're going to ask somebody, hey, you've taken this class before. You know, you got an A in this class. What did you do?
When I got my license to practice psychology or practice mental health counselor, I literally scoured the internet for resources and I invested in a resource that I knew would help me.
Right.
And I spent literally hours and hours and hours of my time studying and practicing for this test before I set for the state exam.
Right.
It was that serious.
Mm-hmm.
Why in Hades is people getting married and not putting the same effort into their preparation? Why right. aren't you preparing to be a husband and preparing to be a wife? What the heck is going on? Okay, I just had to get that out.
No, because
it frustrates me. It makes me want to squeeze something.
And the reason that is because
I'm sorry,
going back to what David has said is we get married based off of emotion.
Yes. Yes.
So we're not thinking about educating ourselves and making sure our minds are right.
Oh my gosh.
We're thinking about, you know, our heart and how we feel
yeah.
and the feeling that we're going to get physically and you know,
I want a fairy tale wedding and
yeah.
all that stuff. And all of a sudden.
And then we get mad at each other and frustrated because we can't understand each other or what, you know, what David wants to do doesn't make sense it's obvious and it's common sense that it works this way.
And we don't know how to resolve conflict. And
yeah.
We don't know how to deal with each other's family.
We come from two different worlds, but yeah. we're banging heads here because.
Literally, yeah.
I want it my way and you wanted your way. I'm getting sensitive because maybe he doesn't want to throw a big celebration for birthdays, but maybe his family didn't do that.
Yeah. And even deeper than that, I have all of my past baggage and my past experiences coming with me into the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when two past experiences collide? It's a chaotic moment. And unfortunately, most people aren't trained, most marriages, most spouses aren't trained in how to navigate through the minefield.
Now, I'm going to go here too. Again, we've said this before in other podcasts. Marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling can be a great resource. But if you think about it, by the time you get to pre-marriage counseling, you have already made up in your mind and told everybody that you're engaged and you're going to get married.
Most of y'all only doing pre-marriage counseling because the pastor that's married
that,
y'all
but
requires.
But then also what I'm trying to say is that little the 6 to 8 weeks that you go through, most times people are not really transparent and they really don't put it all out there because, you know, that's what I'm saying. You're not totally honest because no matter what they say, you're going to get married.
Yeah. And y'all already planning the wedding.
Yes.
So
and I won't just... get and I won't get started on how many people I've had that have said to me when I was walking down the aisle, I knew we probably should not be getting married, but it was too late because all the plans were made.
Yeah. And that's a travesty. So, but it starts with educating. It starts with, you know, helping people to be prepared for the journey of marriage.
Yes.
Marriage is not a destination. And that's the thing that people, and I'm going to get off this point. Okay. But I missed y'all. So y'all got to hear it all. And this is true. I want you guys to take this to heart. Mm-hmm. Marriage is not a destination. Mm-mm. It's not a place on the map that you go to. That you arrive at. No, it's a journey. It's a process.
A marathon.
A marathon, a series of events
not
and moments. Yes, and you got to take it as a journey. Because if you see it as a journey, then you know there's going to be pit stops along the way.
Right.
You got to go get gas. You got to go use the bathroom. You got to get food. I mean, but if you see it as a destination, you get there and then you think you're done. And that's not it at all. Mm-hmm. But I guess at the end of the day, all I'm saying is prepare and make sure that you're putting the same interest and tenacity into marriage as you would taking a test, studying to get your license or to become a nurse or a doctor or some practitioner. You got to see it that level. But anyway, moving on to the third and final point. So remember, guys, my first 2 points was we focused on expectations and how dangerous it is to bring your personal expectations into your marriage. Mm-hmm. Then we talked about the fact that for this particular gentleman, and even you guys as listening, what is it about you that caused you to step out your marriage? Mm-hmm. What was it that motivated you? Not what your spouse did, but what was it inside of you? That what need did you have that was not being met? Mm-hmm. Figure out what that need is, where it came from, and why it's still there.
Right.
And then thirdly, and finally, here's the other thing, because you ended by saying this, God wants me to move on because nothing I do works with her. That's a dangerous frame of mind. And here's why it's dangerous. That's like saying that because I can't find my house keys, I'm going to stop looking. I don't know one person who lost their car keys or their house keys, and because they couldn't find it, they just said, okay, I guess I just won't have my keys no more.
I guess I'll forfeit my car.
I guess I'll stop driving. No, your ends was looking for them keys.
Or I guess I'll just let my house go.
I just let it go. No, you kept looking. And here's the mindset that we've gotten conditioned with, that if I don't have the answer, then it must not be meant to be. Or God may be telling me, because he's not telling me the other thing, he may be telling me to let it go.
Or I'm tired of waiting, so yeah. I better go.
Yeah. Honestly, it is precisely this type of logic that keeps marriages from succeeding. And this is kind of me chastening you. But at the end of the day, this is me really just admonishing you to change your paradigm about your marriage as the husband. Okay. And all the while, guess who's getting the blame if your marriage fails? God. You said God wants me to move on because nothing I do is working. So really you're saying it's in your hand, God. And honestly, the reason why God does not handpick your spouse is because he doesn't want to be responsible for your marriage failing or working. He gave that responsibility up to us. He gave that choice up to us. And so we have to be responsible, mm-hmm. right? I think we give God too much credit for failed marriages, you know?
Or too much blame, you mean?
No, I mean credit. Just like he said, God wants me to move on because nothing I do is working.
Okay.
Yeah, no, God don't deserve that credit. Mm-hmm. Don't give him that credit, you know? But and here it is. At the end of the day, as a husband, you owe it to yourself and your wife to fight for your marriage. You have to fight for your marriage. That's why you called in. That's why you left the response to us. You have to fight for your marriage. And this is not a user-friendly message. You're not going to hear a lot of people telling you to do these certain things, but we know it works. Mm-hmm. We literally was there. The only thing I didn't do was get tatted. You know, but, you know, at the end of the day, you have to be accountable for your marriage. And if your wife is suffering from depression, if she's struggling with past issues, you have to be there for her. You can't then say, well, she has this issue, which means she's unable to give me what I need, so I need to separate myself from her. Mm-hmm. That's only going to make her feel even more abandoned. Right. Imagine how abandoned she felt when she saw that neck tattoo. I don't know if it's a neck tattoo, but I'm just saying. Imagine how much abandoned she felt at that moment. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense that she would be highly angry and resistant towards you because she has to protect herself. She doesn't feel secure.
And then understand, since you did step out and you all are now still in the, I guess, stages of reconciliation, it's going to take time. It's going to take time.
Yeah.
And you know the phrase, kill somebody with kindness, you know. But what I want to say is, of course, what I teach in the book, Motivated to Love, is how to love unconditionally.
Because that's what it's going to take.
You know, during this, I guess, one of the worst seasons.
Yeah.
And so when she is bashing you or, you know, verbally abusive or whatever is happening, if you've determined that you're going to stand and you're going to stay there in spite of, then you have to be single-eyed in that and you have to be consistent.
You need
to study love. You need to get in 1 Corinthians 13. You need to study the attributes of love.
Or just go to motivated2love.com and get that book. I mean, I'm not trying to pitch it, but at the end of the day, it's a perfect resource.
Exactly.
And Mandy walks you, she'll literally walk you through the steps.
Exactly.
And trust me, you go to her group. She has over 1,000 spouses there. She did a Periscope today. And it's a booming community there. It really is. And so I recommend get a resource like Motivated to Love. Mm-hmm. Get connected with a group of individuals. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not Mandy's group, get connected with somebody that you trust. Mm-hmm. And just root yourself. Get deeply rooted in your decision to stand for your marriage.
And you can't give what you don't have. So you have to make sure that you're filling yourself up you are ready to stand in love when she's doing these things. Because if you do that consistently, God will be able to soften her heart and those seeds that you're planting will grow.
Yeah. And you have to trust the process.
Yes.
Okay. But know that it is a process.
Yes.
It's not a one-night, overnight fix.
But you have to make a decision and stick with that decision.
Stick with that decision.
Either you stay or you go.
And on that notion, we're going to wrap up this podcast.
All right.
We've been in about 30-something minutes right now.
Okay.
And we appreciate you guys sticking around and listening. I know we're just dropping information. So if you have to go back and listen again or take notes, do what you need to do. And guess what? We want to hear from you guys. We want to know what you think about this information. So give us a shout out on Facebook, you know, drop us a email,
voicemail.
You know, or voicemail. Oh, matter of fact, here's two things. I want you to go after this and leave us a review on our podcast because we still want to grow this thing, right? This is season 2. So leave us a season 2 review of our podcast. Mm-hmm. And then also, if you have questions, because we're now going to start doing questions again, leave us a voicemail or email us and we'll answer your question. We'll play it live on the air if you want us to. And we will continue to support your marriage because that's what we're here for.
Yes.
In any case, I'm David Taylor, guys.
This is Amanda Taylor.
And we are out.
Out, y'all.
Deuces.